The scripture is from Romans chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is already the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then throw off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk decently as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in illicit sex, and not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires.
Thank you, Sandy. Thank you, Bella. And maybe to add to that, I have a friend, close friend from college that lives in Canada. And their Thanksgiving is what used to be called Columbus Day is. So he's like, last week, he's like, if one more American friend says happy Thanksgiving to me, you know, because his Thanksgiving, yes, he says, thank you, that was in October. So, there's so many different traditions throughout the world, and every time we learn that, we learn something and we grow. This morning's scripture is from Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. This is Jesus talking. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake, and he would have not let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. May God add his blessing and lend understanding to the reading of his word. This scripture that I just read, for me, might be the most consequential passage in the entire Bible. It's been used in good and bad ways, but ultimately it changed my life. Now, before we go any further, I didn't say this is my favorite passage of Scripture. Just the most consequential. I've often told people, I don't know if I've told you, I don't remember the day I was saved, the day that I gave my life to Christ. Sometime in adolescence, I made a decision to follow Christ with my life, and in good ways and bad ways ever since, I have attempted to follow him. I can't give you a calendar day, so many people can come up to you and say, yes, I remember the day. I remember the day I was called to ministry, November 3rd, 1997. That's clear cut. I just don't remember the day that I decided to follow Jesus. But I was shown a movie when I was 11 years old that scared me terribly, based on one person's interpretation of Jesus' words, and that movie was A Thief in the Night. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but its premise was the scene that I had read had happened. This had taken place in the modern world, where two will be left in the field, one will be taken, and the other left. Two women will be grinding meal together, and one will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore. And in the movie, the people that were left behind were made to undergo tribulation. And those who were taken were safely delivered to heaven, where they were safe and loved. And it even had a song, a theme song associated with it. Larry Norman's "I Wish We'd All Been Ready" was the song, if you're familiar with that. And coincidentally, I think, you know, this is just an interesting bit of trivia. The studio that was recorded at was owned by George Martin, who was the producer of all but one of the Beatles albums, which, you know, that's just a connection that is interesting. But that entire package together, that song, that premise, that movie, it scared my 11-year-old self to tears. I went to my room and I made promises to God and decided to be a Christian. But I don't consider that the day, the hour that I gave my life to Christ, because I feel like that should have been something that happens not because I was toyed with or manipulated with by film and song. I wanted to be led to be Christ because Christ spoke to me and made himself real to me. And I did find my way. I did begin reading scripture. We were churchgoers. We were Bible readers in my house. I was given a copy of the Living Bible called The Way, which was geared toward adolescence. And I read that thing till it was dog-eared. And I began to learn and to pray and to surrender my life to Christ. And like I said, ever since, in good and bad ways, I have followed him. And that was my conversion. That was when I was born again, you might say. And later, though, as I was educated and thinking about things, I ran across some of the writings of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I read in particular a letter from a Birmingham jail. And Dr. King wondered, people are asking, why shouldn't black people be happy with slow incremental change, intermittent, gradual improvements to their station? And he wrote, now is the time to change our nation from the quicksand of racial injustice to the solid rock of human dignity. Now is the time to end segregation and discrimination in Birmingham, Alabama. Now is the time. You know, it hit me. If people of all colors are human beings, don't they all deserve the same rights now? Not incrementally when we can get the votes, but now? That was a conversion in my heart at that time. Of course, my calling in 1997 to ministry, that was a conversion to me. I was on one path and God called me to another, and that was a conversion. And years later, I'm afraid it was years later, as a pastor, reading 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. And I had to find the hate in my own heart. And I had to realize and ponder that if God is really made of love, then God finds God's own existence in love. Everything about God is love. And every time that I decide that it's okay to hate, to have righteous hatred even, that I'm not acting like a follower of God. And so began another conversion experience. And even after that, you think you got to go through enough conversion experiences, maybe then I can kind of rest easy and kind of cruise on through life. I ended up in an online class with the great Ron Sider, And Ron Sider, if you've never heard of him, he was a longtime professor at Palmer Theological Seminary, which is one of the American Baptist seminaries. And in 1977, Ron Sider wrote the book Rich Christians in an Age of Hunger, which Christianity Today still lists as one of the top 100 Christian influential books of the 20th century. So there he was, online, on whatever streaming platform there was. And he questioned this passage, how it's been interpreted through the years, including by A Thief in the Night, getting back to that original movie. Sider pondered, what if the person taken in Matthew, okay, the interpretation is the person taken is the blessed person. The person left behind is the condemned person. Sider argued it could be the opposite. What if the person taken was the condemned person? What if the person left behind was the blessed person? The blessed person would stay here. If Christ is coming back to earth, then the blessed person would be here to welcome Christ back to earth and to witness as Christ set up his new kingdom on earth. Well, for me, it was a conversion. I don't know what's going to happen. But it created enough doubt that I don't have that certainty that so many people have. You know, that get right or get left mentality. That feeling like the bad people are going to be left behind and the good people are going to be taken away. Now, it might be just the opposite, and I don't know. And so I draw comfort. Oh, I didn't bring it over to the pulpit from a hymn. Let me share that with you. This is, I know whom I have believed. The final verse. I know not when my Lord may come, at night or noonday fair, nor if I'll walk the vale with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. It's in our hymnal. We've sung it, I'm sure. You know, does it really matter who gets right and who gets left, who gets taken, who gets kept here? The important thing is there are two people, and they are separated because of their own choices, whether to follow Christ or to not. And one of them will get to participate in Christ's kingdom. And I want to be that one. I want to be among the ones that do that, and I'm sure you do too. That was a conversion for me. I began to think of things differently. You don't have to believe everything you think you thought you had to believe. It's a little different, isn't it? I think that being a Christian, being a follower of Christ, requires one to go through many conversions in our lifetime. And it's really how humans are wired. It shouldn't be a jarring thing to us. This past couple of weeks, I've been around our baby grandchild. She's 9 months old now, or she will be next week. And for almost half her life, I was not there. I was here, and she was down there, and she didn't see me. So when she sees me for the first time, she stares at me a lot. Who is this? Probably the biggest human being she's ever seen. And then we get a little closer. We began playing patty cake during the last 2 weeks because I'm pretty good at that. And yesterday she got close enough to me and she started yanking at my whiskers just like she does her dad's whiskers. So we're getting closer. Children, as part of growing, undergo conversions throughout their lives. In her case, it went from who is this guy to I can get closer and trust him. but they start with diapers and bottles, and they graduate to pull-ups and sippy cups, and they get all the way to grown-up undergarments and solid food and grown-up drinking glasses, and each step of the way is a conversion. And I think that that's what Jesus was referring to when Jesus said we must be born again, or born from above, in John chapter 3, verse 3. And when he said that we should be like children in Matthew 18, verse 3. And he said, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. And I think what he's telling us is that Christians should always be ready to grow, to be converted, to keep our minds open and listening and letting God lead us and change who we are. But all too often, and I'm as guilty of this as anybody, we get settled. We get stuck. We like familiar things. We seek safety, habit, and routine. We resist anything that seems foreign or new. But in the background, like a bug in our ear, we have the words of Jesus. You're going to meet me someday. I'm coming back. You must be ready. The Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. That precipice, that reality, that finality should lead us to a conversion. Oh, but Pastor, you know, people have been waiting for him to come back for 2,000 years. Are you sure he's coming back? Well, I have faith that he's coming back. And even if he doesn't come back in my lifetime, I do have faith that I will meet him someday when my life ends. And at some point, there will be a judgment. At some point, it will be determined whether I get to participate in the kingdom or not. And you all get that same judgment someday. And I pray by his grace that I will be allowed to participate in what I think is going to be one of the greatest things, the greatest thing that ever happened to people. And I also pray by his grace that everybody will get to participate in that kingdom. God is not willing that anyone should be lost. God wants everyone to be saved. God wants everyone to turn and follow him. But today is not the time yet. The day is young, though. What if it were today, as the song goes? What if it were today? What time is it? The time is now. The time is now to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Or in the words of Joshua, choose this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now is the time. As the saying goes, forgive me, this is probably something from a Hallmark card, but I think it's valuable. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery. Today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. What time is it? It's time to embrace the once and future King, Jesus Christ, to let him take control of your life if you haven't done so already, to let him lead you through conversion after conversion after conversion as your understanding grows, as your walk with him continues, and then prepare your hearts and get ready for his return. Maybe today, maybe morning, maybe noon, maybe a long time and maybe soon. It's time to get ready for his return. Everybody, it's time.